from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Rolling along, this is 96.5 The Fan on a Tuesday morning. Tuesday,
baby. Such a great day. They keep showing Patrick Mahomes' behind-the-back pass on ESPN and NFL Network. Still from Saturday. That's how big a play that was.
How dry is the well NFL Network right now that they got to keep talking about a pass? It doesn't make sense, but it's fun to watch.
They're actually talking about their favorite throw of all time, which could be a fun topic for a lot of us to talk about. What is your favorite Patrick Mahomes throw of all time?
You know, I've seen it twice now.
He's got the left-handed pass, the behind-the-back pass. He got a lot of passes out there. None as good as your dart for the opening pitch last night, though.
Man,
let me tell you something.
Oh,
you were the Patrick Mahomes of the mound yesterday, brother.
You know?
Did you enjoy it?
I did, man. It was fun.
That's Dusty Likens. He threw out the first pitch.
That's Bob Fesco. Will you relish?
I was last night. Yeah, I wasn't
That's
any good.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You did it. Your family
did
it. Loved
my
it.
My daughter loved it.
Yeah,
my God.
Dude.
Like, she came back up.
If that's the case. So
she's like,
matter.
Dad, I'm so proud of you. That was the coolest thing ever. And she had videos. I'm like, that's all that really matters. You know, that's all that really matters. Your kid's proud of you. That's all that matters. Nothing else matters, man.
She's going to go to school today and be like, my dad did the hot dog race last night. What'd your dad do? Work.
Yeah.
Came
your dad
home,
do the
pissed.
Hot dog race? That's cool, man. She doesn't have to tell him I finished last unless she shows him the videos. But, you know, you threw it out to your dad. I'm sure your dad's very proud of you to throw that first pitch last night. That was a great moment. And I'll be honest with you, I looked up at the scoreboard and it said Kurt Likens. I'm like, they can't even get Dusty's name right around here.
Oh, God. That's funny. I was just worried. I always get this, like, sick feeling in my stomach that they're going to, like, get the last name wrong.
Of course, but you can't worry about that stuff, right?
And we went down there, we're in the tunnel, and you've done this before. They give you the ball and plastic wrap. I'm like, oh, do I open it now? Like, yeah, like, is there a trash can? Yeah, right, I guess I'll put this in my back pocket, which is just me being me. And then they're like, yeah, so you just walk up there and, you know, get ready. When he says fire away, throw it.
Throw it.
And everything was fine until you get on the top step.
Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden the butterflies are going. I told you, it's a great experience, isn't it?
It's fun. I will say this. I refused to look up. I looked in the middle ring.
Yeah.
And it was really funny, too, because as we're walking in, there's Cotrero on the dugout, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there with his arms over the dugout. And I said, walk by. I said, aim high, right? And he goes, oh, he's like, yeah. He's like, I was like, good to finally meet you. He's like, nice to meet you too. And so funny, my dad's right behind me. He goes, and I'm his dad. And I was like,
that's like my mother, right? Like, yeah. Like there was one year when I was, I think I was in college, and my mother and I went to Giants training camp.
Yeah.
You know, because it was like, you know, get free autographs if you donate blood or something like
nice.
That. And I don't remember, it was Rodney Hampton or I think it was Herschel Walker, actually.
Even better.
My mother walks up to Herschel Walker and goes, would you like my son's autograph?
Nice.
And Herschel Walker's like, why would I want that? She goes, I mean, my son wants your autograph. And, yeah. You know, like my mother does that a lot, too. I'm the mother. I get, you know, a lot from her. And so
right.
My dad kind of just fades into the background. But that's funny. I can totally see your dad doing that. That's a lot of fun. Hi, I'm his dad.
Yeah. Which is
he's proud of you, man.
No, like, yeah, he was.
You know, there's something special about being a parent and seeing your kid do well. And there's something just awfully terrible about seeing your kid not have success. And my mother always used to tell me, you're only as happy as your least happy child, right? And you share these moments, and you probably live these moments more as a parent than you do as a kid, you know,
right.
Because you're young, you don't understand. But once you see your kid go through it, you see if your kid's upset or your kid's happy, you wear the emotions that they do. And there's nothing better than seeing your kid smile and seeing your kid have success. And so your dad's living it up, man, and he's so proud of you. And I think that's the coolest thing ever to see, not you have the success, but your dad really enjoy the success, because I got a totally different impression of it now being a parent. And like, you know, but your kid does something well, you're like, man, that's my kid, man. They're like, there's nothing better than watching your kid have success and have fun and smile. And there's nothing worse than seeing them in pain.
Right.
Nothing worse than that.
Yeah. I thought the three biggest takeaways yesterday, which obviously, like, you know, never done this in my life. I wish I would have called my dad on the recorder in there to get the actual audio of whatever he told me we were going to do this. The coolest thing was he texted me yesterday and he was like, hey, I'll get to your house about 3:15. I was like, well, we don't need to leave till like 3:45, 3:50. He's like, I'll be there at 3:15. And he gets there, he gets out of the car, he's got the glove. He's like, we got to practice.
Yeah.
So that was a cool moment to go back in time and just shoot the breeze, toss the baseball with your father, and just, you know, which was funny because he couldn't really throw it as far anymore. And he goes, God, I haven't thrown it 40 years.
And I was like, good thing you're not throwing.
And he goes, good thing I'm the one catching the ball. The second coolest thing was family coming. Like, my stepdad was there, my stepmom, my sister. And then a lot of my friends came.
Good.
And a lot of my former coworkers from JackStack came. Like, some of my friends were in the upper deck. This nice lady I've been exchanging text messages with and hanging out with.
You're talking to them, as the kids say.
Yeah,
right?
She showed up and took video. And, like, that was cool to see that she made an effort. And then, you know, the cool part about the end of it was it didn't even involve me. We're sitting in the press room waiting to go out there. And funny little story, I'll wrap up here shortly. Little kid that's supposed to do the play ball thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
So he goes down there. There's a family that they introduced before us. And then the other part was, like, there was a bunch of employees of the month at the Royal Stadium that got, like, field access. And then it's the first pitch. Then it's the national anthem. And then it's the play ball kid. Well, the play ball kid gets the rundown, gets the swag bag, the Whataburger stuff. And the lady's like, hey, here's what you're going to do, all this. And the kid's like, uh-huh, yeah, all right. And she's like, we're going to give you the microphone, and then you're going to say play ball. And he's like, okay. 5 minutes go by, they stand up, walk over to the coordinator, and he just goes, yeah, I don't do this anymore. And
oh,
she's
wow,
like,
really?
Like, yeah, she's like, oh, okay, that's fine. And then she's like, are you
sure? Get the swag bag, though?
Put it back.
Oh, he
packed
did.
It back. Back, I was like, no thanks.
Wow.
So they bring in another kid like 5 minutes later.
They got a kid on standby?
I guess.
They ran up to the concourse,
or they
right?
just went up there immediately, like, react. Mm. They begin this other kid. He comes down there, gets the whole rundown, gets the swag bag. He just goes, this is epic. And I was like, that's your kid.
That is awesome.
And then
the
last part about it was, so after you throw the first pitch, it's over. I black out for like probably 3 seconds, gave a thumbs up to Q. Can't wait to talk to him on Wednesday because he was proud. And I was like, that's a major league manager, that guy, all right. But the best part about it was the girl that sang the national anthem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have no idea who she is. We'll probably never meet her again. We'll never talk to her ever again. The best part was after my dad and I were coming up the stairs and coming out of the Diamond Club to go to our seats, here comes this woman, wet face in tears. It was her daughter singing the national anthem.
See, there you go.
And her whole family was there.
There
I was like, that's a lot cooler than what we did, Dad. And he's like, who was that? I was like, that was the mom that like was down there for her daughter to sing the national anthem. And you can just tell, like, you talk about proud parents and proud things. Like, I can throw a ball to my dad 10 out of 10 times. Not any way in hell I'm singing a national anthem in front of my entire friends, entire family, in front of an entire stadium of 15,000 people. And when you see that, you're kind of just like, it's, you know, more than a game.
Yeah, no, it absolutely
and then
is.
You and say that, your thing about your kids, yeah. You're like, my dad did a hot dog race. Like, it's funny to say that out loud, but it's like,
right.
That's my dad.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Like, that's the cool part.
It's
and like,
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you might go home and be like, yeah, I got my butt whipped and
right.
I was relish and freaking Cody almost won, but he didn't.
He didn't.
And,
yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it's like, my kid's going to go to school today. And yeah, there's probably teachers that know who Bob Fesco is. There's probably people that know who you are. But like, the best part about it is there's kids that have no idea who you are, except today they know that you're relish and you're somebody's dad that made them happy. And that's what it's
yeah,
about.
Yeah. And that's what it is all about. Like the national anthem singer with the mother crying. Like, I get emotional all the time, you know, with my kids. They just don't see it a whole lot. Right. Like
yeah,
you try to, you know, like I got emotional last year when I was putting away the soccer chair. I'm like, wow, this is eighth grade. We're going into high school now. Like this is it, man. Like childhood is officially over, you know, kind of once you enter high school and you're there all the time. Like the number one thing as a parent is to be there for your kid and to make sure your kid is happy, right? Nothing
right.
else matters. Like, you know, people always talk about the moral police and all this kind of stuff and fighting the good fight. You know what I need to do? I need to be a good dad, a good husband. And that's all I care about. And when, you know, I got smoked as relish yesterday, like smoked big time, you know, out of the gate, wasn't really paying attention. Then
at
they
least
started
you lost
running.
To
like,
a former track athlete.
Yeah, right. So I got smoked and, you know, there were people in the crowd giving me static. I heard from a lot of people in both organizations about how, wow, you were really good yesterday running. I realized, you know, when I got back up to where we were sitting and my daughter's like, that was great, Dad. I'm like, it was. And that's what matters most. And, you know, being a parent changes that whole perspective. Probably about 20 years ago before I had kids, I'd be pissed. I got smoked in that race.
Well, you wouldn't have lost 20 years ago.
I would have. I was, you know, a couple, you know, pounds heavier. And you know
fair.
Whatnot, and I probably would have had a couple of cocktails at that point in time. But
here's relish,
son of a gun. But it's just about having fun, and sometimes people lose that, man.
Right.
That's what kind of sports is all about. Like, you know, I was listening to Ben Maller driving, and a guy calls into his radio show and was complaining about playing time in preseason football.
Okay.
Like when that becomes where you
is
are
Mac
in playing? Life, yeah, Mac is absolutely calling in Ben's
no.
show. Is like
he's
Bill
like,
in Spokane.
He said two
right,
quarters.
Yeah. Well, I heard that from somebody the other day too. But Andy said they were going to play. Really,
yeah.
Go sit down, sir. Take a seat. Have another beer. Like that. That's when you start to lose it, when you take it too seriously. And last night was all about fun, man. And,
yeah.
and you had fun. The anthem singer parents, we did the play ball kid. Here's a little secret, though, I want to let Royals fans know about. We asked how you do the hot dog race, right? We're like, how do you normally pick people for this, right? And they go, we just kind of walk the concourse and see, you know. If you're between like 5'6" and 6'4", you can do it, and you have to have sneakers on. Like if you go there, and so if you're looking to do the hot dog race, kind of mill around by the Diamond Club, and maybe you get noticed. That's how they do the play ball kid. So if you want to do one of those races in the future or whatnot, that's kind of how you do it. The best part of the whole night, though, was the shower afterwards, man.
Yeah,
I got the shower.
Was it in the clubhouse?
No, it was not. It was not. I don't know.
You out back and just hose you down.
They deloused me just
clean
like
up,
in Shawshank Redemption. No,
yeah.
So you know, we were talking about it yesterday, and
yeah.
I got a text from somebody that says we got a shower for you after
you
the hot dog
me,
race.
You text me, go confirm post run shower. I was like, he's so happy
yeah.
right now.
Oh, I was because the mascot suit. You know, it smells. I'm not gonna, like it's not a you know it's not a favorable odor that's rolling around in those things.
That was the first question I asked you. I said how bad was it? You're like, oh god,
yeah. It was. It, you know, I had it prepared like it was going to be a lot
but
worse.
It was like in you, right?
That's kind of the way I put it. Yeah. Like I wanted to see out of it. Maybe that was the wrong way to go about it, but you know, I don't know. I had a blast doing it. My kids loved it. My wife loved it. You know, everybody kind of made fun of me on social media, but I don't care. I mean, that's what it's about. It's just about having a good time. But God, that was maybe one of the best showers I've ever had.
Oh, I bet. I bet, man.
I mean, I got my soap. I got my shampoo. I'm lathered up. I'm like, oh, thank God. And like Nate and Cody were like, oh, you get to take a shower. I'm like, hey, man, I got connections in high places.
Bob Fesco, damn glad to meet you.
So, yeah, de-lousing and a hose out back. It was great.
Boy,
it was
no,
great.
That's great because, you know, the theme of it last night was our family fun night.
Yeah.
Family was there. Fun was had.
Fun was had.
And it was a good game and a good win.
And the Royals won. And, you know, and now they're
so
tied
tonight,
for second. And, you know, here we go.
And tonight they want Bob and I to return.
They don't know.
Except we, that's not true. Maybe me, maybe not Bob.
They said, please do not ever do this hot dog race again. I said, yeah. That's fine. Next time I'll do it by myself so I can win. But
you really relished in the moment.
I know. That was like my parents got the video and they're laughing, and my sister's sons are with my parents this week, and so they were laughing, and my dad finally, you know, texted back about, you know, we really relished this video.
I figured it was coming.
I couldn't catch up to Nate Taylor.
Yeah.
Or was that Cody who was catching?
Yep. I think Nate Taylor's mustard.
Mustard.
From the 816, my oldest starts her senior year tomorrow. You can stop now so I don't show up to my first stop in tears.
Yeah, I mean, you get it, man. Like, senior year is going to be here before I know it, you know, with my kids. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're gone and they move away and you never see them again, right? Like, being a parent has its ups and its downs. It's the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my entire life. It doesn't get easier, especially having two daughters and being a man. I don't relate to a lot of stuff they're going through and whatnot. But, you know, you just try to be there for them and be like, hey, man, anything you need, I'm here for you and I love you. And you tell them you love them every day and you tell them that you're proud of them. I don't think we say that enough to people, man. Like, I'm proud of you. I think I'm proud of you hits hard. For a lot of people. And I think that's important to tell your kids every day. Even if they do something that maybe they could do better at, you just always say you're proud of them, man. Like, you get in the car after a sporting event, and if you're ripping your kid, you're absolutely doing it wrong, and you're probably going to push them away. Just tell them you love them and you're proud of them. You enjoyed watching them.
First time it happened to me is when a guy cut me off on the highway when I was learning how to drive, and I hit my horn and flipped him off. And my dad said, proud of you.
Yeah, there you go.
Mac Morey, Bob Festo,
a lot of bad drivers this morning. Like,
oh, come on. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. This show we call Fesco and Dusty. It is on 96.5 The Fan, your home for sports radio. How about we talk about a Royals team that's in second place when we come back here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Rawr, rawr, rawr. Eye of the Tiger.
That's Missouri Tiger Athletics, baby. Remember Quinn Snyder singing this song or talking this song back in the day?
I don't know if he was singing it.
The Eye of the Tiger. He was the
nose of the tiger.
He was modern day John Harbaugh before Jim Harbaugh before Jim Harbaugh, I guess.
Quinn Snyder?
Yeah, kind of like that with the Eye of the Tiger stuff, man. There's some wild stuff. I actually like Quinn Snyder. I'm not going to lie.
No, I love Quinn Snyder.
That dude came to the radio station, hung out with us and stuff. Like, he knew how to win over a crowd, basically, you know?
Yeah.
He was awesome.
This is 96.5 The Fan. I am Dusty Likens. That's Bob Fesco, executive producer Mac Morey as well with you. Quick little side note of Quinn Snyder. We should go to basketball camp at Mizzou.
Oh, the Quinn Snyder basketball camp, right?
And we went the year I was a freshman. The year after Justin Gage did the slide of we went to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, yeah.
And Justin Gage made that slide.
Yep.
And boy, Quinn came out, and I looked at my friend and was like, he must have really bad allergies. He's sniffing. You know, I'm a naive freshman. And then, like, the reports come out, like, a couple years later, I'm like, oh. And, I mean, he's slicking his hair back. And when we go down the court, you want to make sure you're hustling. You know, you want to hustle. And I was like, he does know it's 8:00. I was like, I will run through a wall for this guy.
The guy was great, man. Like, there are legendary stories of him hanging out at the cigar box and whatnot. Like
maybe doing some things a little late at night.
You know, the cigar box used to be a great spot back in my younger days too. But I mean, like right. Quinn was. I mean, he got it, man. Like, I'll never forget. He came in
player's coach.
Yeah, no doubt. He came into the radio station, put his feet up, you know, kicked back in the chair, hung out, was just like a dude. I'm like, I just graduated from Kansas like 3 years ago, and I want to root for the University of Missouri because I like you. And then the Ricky Clemens thing happened, and now he's coaching in the NBA, and yay, he's had himself a nice run, and now he's in Atlanta, but with Utah, had himself a nice little run. Like, I think he kind of found his niche in the NBA. Like, he's done a really nice job.
How to get around with the Lakers as an assistant.
Yeah.
Parlay that into a head coach.
I mean, look, Quinn Snyder, I think, always should have got another opportunity in college. But then you look about what he's doing in the NBA, and you're like, man, maybe the NBA is the perfect home, you know, for Quinn Snyder. So congratulations to him for being an Atlanta Hawks head coach.
Your Royals, who play on this station, 96.5 The Fan, are in second place,
brother.
They are 2.5 games behind Cleveland.
Way to go, Padres, last night.
They are 4.5 games above Boston. Who is the next closest wild card team to jump in? I'm trying to tell you, folks, the wild card race is all but getting close to being out of reach for everyone.
Yeah.
But Cleveland, Minnesota, Kansas City.
That's right.
And we tried to tell you this yesterday. And the reason why they're here, what did you, myself, Alex Gold and Carrington Harrison talk about yesterday. Let's see it from Lugo. Again, not a great team, but the man went late, got a little tattered up towards the end. We're all going, okay.
Like everybody get a little nervous there late.
And I thought this was interesting. Seth Lugo was on MLB Network at the end of the game yesterday, and he said this about why he's here.
Well, I saw their infield, really, as a pitcher. You know, you got Bobby and you got Vinny. I knew a little bit about Mikel, but I didn't realize he was as good as he is. I know the stadium's awesome. It's a big park, great for pitchers. But, I thought they put up really professional bats against me last year. You know, we saw the record coming in, and they didn't play like it. And I knew they were going in the right direction.
I do like the fact that he said the ballpark is great for pitchers, because we've heard about this big ballpark for, you know, forever now, and we've never had the pitching to kind of back that up. Now we finally have, you know, constructed our team to have pitchers in a big ballpark and to utilize that home ballpark, and these pitchers have been great. Like, it's been all about starting pitching, and that's the currency of baseball, as they like to say. If you can't pitch, you can't win, and right now the Royals are pitching, and you'd made the comment, like, you know, not a great opponent, but you did what you needed to do. You won a game against a bad team. Like, you didn't let you didn't let Anaheim hang around. You didn't let Anaheim get a win. You didn't let Anaheim come in here and upset you or do anything like that. You went out there and you scored some early runs, and you went out there and you had the Seth Lugo hold up for you a little bit, and then they finished out the game, and then obviously Salvi gets a big hit late to kind of break things open, and the game is over. And that's what you need to do against Anaheim. It doesn't have to be, you know, a perfect game. It doesn't have to be 9 innings of no-hit baseball. It doesn't have to be a 10-0 win. Just get a win. Run differential doesn't matter. You go out there and you get a win, and that's what they did. Everybody else is losing, and you're making up ground, and before you know it, holy cow, who knows where this team's going to be come Thursday on that off day. They could potentially be within striking distance of the Guardians entering that series with the Phillies on Friday afternoon.
And that's the greatest thing about everything, is that not only have we spent, I mean, you just think about the different type of waves that this Royal ship has continued to just conquer. And the first minor wave was, can you be competitive towards training camp when the Chiefs start?
Yeah.
Nailed that one.
Nailed it.
Can you be competitive all the way into September? Well, Bob, it's August 20th. Nailed it.
Nailed it, yeah.
Can you have a fight and a legit argument to be a wild card team? Again,
yes.
It's August 20th. Nailed it.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, we're having a conversation of, can you win this division? Yes, you can. You're 2.5 games out. Yes, you're playing Anaheim. Yes, you have the riptide, as Vern is calling it, with this upcoming schedule, those 20 games, right? Maybe you go, I don't know, my dad said perfect case scenario is like 12-8 in those 20. I was like, I like that.
Would you take 12-8 right now?
Yes.
Yeah, I would too. I would take 10-10 right now.
Because he also said if it's 12-8, but 5 of those wins are against Cleveland, it may not matter when those 8 lost. They might be the New York Yankees. It may not matter except for
you
this
may lose
next
to the Phillies and the Yankees, but you beat Cleveland and Minnesota, and that's kind of what matters.
And then you have the conversation of, this team is now, 3.5 games out of having the best record in the American League?
Yeah. And Baltimore lost yesterday, you know.
And when you bring that up, I thought about this yesterday when we were talking with Carrington on our flat table.
Mm-hmm.
The round table will come back on Fridays on this show. I ain't done.
It's a rectangle table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
most tables are flat.
I think there is a way for the Royals to collect 2 awards at the end of the season if, in fact, they win their division. And if they win their division, that means there's a possibility that they could have the number 1 overall record in the American League.
Mm-hmm.
If that is the case, there is no doubt in my mind that Bobby Witt Jr. is your MVP and Matt Quatrero is your manager of the year.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. If they win the division, Matty Q's got it in the bag, which is awesome. And if they win the top seed in the AL, get the first round bye, who was more valuable to their team at that point?
Right. If you're the number 1 seed in the American League, then Bobby Witt Jr. should be the MVP. And look, they kind of won a game last night with nothing from Bobby Witt Jr., which is always good to see.
He busted a single.
But there was no big moment last night. And I kind of like that. I'm not going to lie, because eventually you're going to have other guys step up, right? Like, I would imagine, and this is the way playoff baseball works. You get to the postseason, man, you need to get 2 or 3 timely hits to break those games open, because pitching is good. going to dominate.
Right.
And if you're in the playoffs, like, are you really pitching to Bobby Witt? I mean, I'm not.
That's the best part. Are you pitching to Bobby? You want to pitch to Vinny? You want to pitch to
I'll take my
Salvi?
Chances with anybody else in the lineup right now, right?
Like, which
if
is
Bobby
awesome.
Witt comes to the plate, I'm not pitching to that guy in the postseason. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot of intentional walks, you know, to Bobby Witt. And that's the way you got to do it, because he's the best player. You don't let the best player beat you. You got to find a way to control the best player. That was always Bill Belichick's narrative going into a game. We're not going to let the best player beat us. You take out Kelsey, you take out Tyreek Hill, you find a way to win a football game, right? That's always been his MO. And as an 8-time Super Bowl champion, you kind of, you know, you can correlate different sports and say, all right, let's take their best player out. Like, if I'm the Royals, I'm not letting Aaron Judge beat me.
No.
You know?
I'll pitch to Giancarlo Stanton. Yeah. If it's a 500-foot home run, hopefully it's a solo shot, not a 3-run bomb by Judge.
And then you tip your cap to Stanton, who, like, you tip your cap because he actually made it to the postseason without being hurt. And you don't let Aaron Judge beat you. You don't let Bobby Witt beat you. You know, like back in the day, Mike Trout or Albert Pujols or some of these guys over the years that we've seen in baseball. Barry Bonds, like, we used to talk about it all the time. Why are you pitching to Barry Bonds? You know that guy's going to rocket one over the wall. It's the dumbest thing you can do. And then there was, I forget what manager walked him with the bases loaded. Was it Showalter?
Yeah,
walked him
Showalter.
With the bases loaded. And
absolutely.
He like, I'd rather give up one than give up four. I mean, you can come back from a one-run deficit, you know?
That was his exact response. They asked him in the post-game press conference. Yeah. You walked Barry with the bases loaded. Why would you know, what merited that? He goes, well, what would you do?
Yeah.
He goes, I'd rather give up one than four. Yeah. I know who that guy is.
Right.
Duh.
It makes sense. And so, but you know, the crux of the matter is the success of the Royals in the postseason is going to come down to that pitching. And what they've done over the last week, Lugo last night, Singer, Waka, Lorenzen, and Reagans, I mean, they all essentially went six innings and gave up two or fewer runs the last time through the rotation. That's pretty special. And look, I know it was against Cincinnati and I know it's against Anaheim, but they're still doing it. They're still getting the wins. You can only play the team on your schedule. And as we were talking about yesterday, these old seam heads that sit around and go, well, they're not doing it against this. Who cares? They're stacking wins, and that's all that matters right now. And the more wins you can stack against the, you know, the losers of the world, the better it is, and the more ground you give yourself in the standings, and less work you have to do against the better team. So they're setting themselves up for a perfect, perfect run towards the end of the season in a final month that I think everybody's going to be captivated by.
To wrap this conversation up, this was Seth Lugo on what he thinks of Bobby Witt Jr.
Hey, it's hard to say. I mean, the at-bats he puts up, the way he swings it, I mean, every hit he gets, it's like 111 off the bat. I mean, that's a soft one. But he does it every day. It doesn't matter who's pitching, where they're pitching him, in the zone, out of the zone. I mean, he's the best player I've ever seen.
I mean, that's high praise. Yeah. Seth Lugo's like 34 years old, been in baseball for quite a while. He's the best player he's ever seen. Pretty sure he played on the San Diego Padres, had Fernando Tatis Jr., Cosmer, you know, Juan Soto.
But Tatis Jr. can never stay healthy. You know, Juan Soto is pretty damn good himself.
Yeah.
But Bobby Witt just makes play after play after play. And, I mean, it's okay to admit things like that. Like, I know when we say statements, people always want to say, oh, that's hyperbole. It can't be. It's okay to say that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback you've ever seen. It's okay to say Bobby Witt is the best baseball player you've ever seen. It's okay to say LeBron James is maybe the best basketball player you ever see. If people want to argue Jordan, that's fine. You can have the conversation.
Maybe you didn't see Jordan.
Maybe you didn't see Jordan. Right. Maybe you didn't. I mean, LeBron's been playing for 20-some years.
I never saw George Brett play. If I did, I don't remember it. Bobby Witt Jr. is the best Royal player I've ever seen.
You've ever seen. Right.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I even asked my dad because he was talking about best moments at Royal at Kauffman Stadium. He's like, we saw Nolan Ryan's last game where we shelled him in the first inning. He's like, we saw the Royals win the pennant. We saw this. He goes, tonight's not going to be anything short of that. This is going to be the best moment. I was like, did I ever see George? He goes, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not bad to have those opinions.
No, it's okay to admit that. It's okay to say that somebody that is currently playing is the best. Like, I didn't see Mickey Mantle play. I didn't see Babe Ruth play. I didn't see these guys play. I didn't see Johnny Unitas play. Like, I don't have that kind of, you know, level of being able to compare to, but I know what I'm seeing right now. I've never seen anything like Patrick Mahomes. I sure as hell's never seen anything like Bobby Witt Jr., and I saw George Brett play.
They're in the same city together at the same time. You love to see it. Baseball coverage on 96.5 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Mac, I know you're ready for this. Bob, I'm ready for it. I know you are too. 2 weeks for a Sunday countdown for the NFL to start here in the world of sports. We go to 2 weeks, we go to two teams each. I'm really excited to see Mac set the tone here. If you're okay with that, you're the leader of this show,
Bob.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Matt, alrighty. Who are your two AFC teams that represent for the championship
game? I like the
game?
Youthful exuberance where he's going to pick somebody with a nice young quarterback like Caleb Williams.
And then you got two in it. Who represents the NFC championship game? Who represents the AFC championship game? 913-586-7965.
You can call in. If you call in and tell us who the teams are that are representing the AFC and the NFC, we'll be very happy with you. So feel free to call in and let us know. We want to hear your voice on the radio. So I'm tired of ours.
First one in the AFC stuff. Easy. Chiefs. Great.
Yeah.
Seventh time in a row.
Wow. They're you're really going out on a limb there, Mac. Wow.
And then this is a little hotter. I know, Bob, you and I are big on this team right now. Houston Texans.
That's exactly what I got for the AFC championship game.
We're lock and key. Yeah, give me the Texans.
Makes me want to change my opinion, though.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Too many people now like Houston.
I know.
No, it becomes one of those things, right? You know, like Houston means one day. But anyway,
like, wait, we all like Houston. That's it makes me nervous.
It makes you nervous. Like anytime the betting public is in favor of somebody, I'm like, uh-oh.
And like you said, that's the young quarterback, right? That's the young shiny object. Well, I'm doing the same in the NFC, the other shiny object. Give me Jordan Love. He's the MVP of the NFL next year. I've been touting it for the last few weeks. He's going to represent part of the NFC there over there. And then like, give me, I'll go San Francisco. I don't feel good about it though.
Why?
I think there's a big chance of implosion there. Mm. I don't like the contract situation with Ayuk. Debo's going to have to get a contract after this year. They're going to have to pay Kittle soon. I just think
probably should pay McCaffrey more.
Brock Purdy not paid yet.
Yeah.
You've been on the doorstep so many times.
49ers just need to hire Brian Flores and let Purdy know how he really is as a quarterback, right?
Ooh, that guy's a richer.
That guy's a douchebag.
Yeah, dude, that guy's a richer.
Remember when he got fired and everybody was complaining that he got fired? Maybe you should know the whole story before you complain about why somebody gets fired.
It's weird
because
how the media jumps on a story
immediately. And then Tua comes out and goes, Tua did not hold back at all on that guy. He was a miserable human being to those guys. You can't be like that as a coach.
Praise be to Levitt. He'll always get you to the truth.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness. What'd you think of Flores? Yeah, that guy was a douche.
That guy was a bag, dude.
Yeah, like seriously.
So you've got Green Bay and who in the NFC?
San Fran.
Okay, Green Bay winning, going to the Super Bowl?
Yep.
And then you have the Chiefs in Houston, Chiefs winning, going to the Super Bowl?
Yep. Oh, a rematch of Super Bowl I.
To win exactly a three-peat? Right. Oh, the script is getting into Max head.
Yeah, I know it is. It's good.
All right, so you have Houston.
I've got Kansas City and Houston in the AFC coming out. Like,
love it.
I want to go Cincinnati. I'm just not sure about Joe Burrow right now.
I
need to see it for a while. And these are obviously, you know, as the season goes along, things will change, right? But I just need to see Joe Burrow, man, like I do. And yesterday, for the first time this year, we see Justin Herbert on the field. I'm not sold on Buffalo right now. Like, I just love Houston. I love DeMeco Ryans. I love CJ Stroud. I think they're going to be a really good football team. And then in the NFC, I've got the San Francisco 49ers taking on Detroit in the NFC championship game. Kansas City Detroit Super Bowl for me.
So
like a rematch in the NFC.
A little bit of a rematch in the NFC. I like Detroit. I do. I like their uniforms. Yeah. I like their coach. And the more
I like their uniform.
I do.
You like that? You like that blue and silver?
Oh, it's beautiful. The Honolulu blue. I mean, it's just Detroit as a sports city has some of the like the best combination of uniforms in all sports, save the Pistons. I like you like the Pistons uniforms?
Not really.
No,
their old ones were great. The new ones suck.
I'm trying to think like what the Pistons uniforms even look like.
I
like
the
right
Grant
now.
Hill like era ones, like the little like teal green with the fiery P of the Pistons.
Oh, you like those? Oh,
I like it better than the Ben Wallace ones with like Rip Hamilton, the Malice, and the you know what I mean? Like those I didn't really like because they was like red, black, and blue. But the like teal with like the fiery little horse or whatever it was, that was
like the early 2000s. Like let's make these futuristic type uniforms.
Right?
And the, as days go by, I don't know, like maybe I'm just trying to dig in because nobody wants to give Jared Goff credit, but like that guy's been nothing but a winner. I mean, he's taken Detroit to new heights. He took the, no pun intended, Travis, he took the Rams to the Super Bowl. Like, I mean, that guy's a pretty good quarterback and nobody ever wants to give that cat any credit whatsoever. So maybe there's like part of that that I'm rooting for Detroit with. So Kansas City, Detroit for me.
And then Kansas City just becomes the ultimate hated franchise because they beat the one team that everybody wants to see finally get a prize of the puzzle.
I don't necessarily sense the hate for the Chiefs like I did for the Patriots and the Yankees because they're not hateable. Nobody has a punchable face on this team.
Fair. I mean, you say that here.
I was going to say, man, I'm coming from Nashville. I'll tell you what, man.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you say that in this town. Okay, so there's always somebody that, like, it's always different. I mean, obviously, it's been the Chiefs most often than not in the AFC. I'm going to go, give me the road of the three-peat to be the sweetest nectar of the end zone, as Mitch Holtis would say here on 96.5 The
what
Fan.
What does the end zone nectar taste like in
I'll
your world?
I'll never know.
Is it like that apricot nectar that you used to
I
give
don't
as
know,
a kid?
But I just hope they keep getting drunk on it in the Chiefs organization.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Chiefs, Cincinnati, and Arrowhead one more time.
One more time.
Wow. One more time.
Okay.
I like it. I think Cincinnati has got finally to the point where they've been broken, and now they're built themselves back. I think the reason that they're seeing Joe Burrow kind of hold back is because they want to make sure that they can get this run. This is their window. It's closing fast. Give me Cincinnati, Kansas City, in the AFC Championship game.
We all really secretly want that again, though?
Yes.
Like that's the best rivalry in football.
That's
in
Arrowhead.
You do want it.
Because if you do that, you've then buried the Ravens, buried the Bengals, buried the Bills, and it's like, okay, Houston, now it's your turn. You're seeing what's coming up next. And the NFC side of things, I like Green Bay and Detroit.
Okay, so
I
split.
I like Green Bay and Detroit. I think Detroit wins. I like Dan Campbell versus Andy Reid, and I like Andy Reid to win over Dan Campbell and to win the three-peat against Detroit, against the team that everybody's hoping and winning and really rooting for, and it's Kansas City winning a three-peat, breaking the hearts of the entire nation because everybody will want to see Detroit win a Super Bowl.
Now, of course they will. Everybody will be rooting for Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
They'll put out those maps, you know, where they put the colors of every state and who teams are rooting
Missouri,
for.
Kansas.
That's
blue.
It. Blue. Everywhere else. Everybody
like
will be rooting.
Map.
Yeah. Everybody rooting for the Lions in that Super Bowl. I just want to see Dan Campbell at Super Bowl week. Like, I think that'll be very entertaining to see him on the national stage and kind of get the love. Not that he's not getting the love already, but even more love being on the national stage. And then the Chiefs go in there and just kind of rip the rug out from underneath them and three-peat and do it in grand fashion too. Like, blow them out in the Super Bowl. So the second half, we can all just sit back and enjoy what we're seeing. So I think it'd be good. I think a Green Bay Detroit NFC Championship game would be money.
That'd
man.
Be fun.
That'd be
so
great.
Fun.
Yeah.
NFC North rivalry, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Green Bay finally gets back. Detroit finally gets there.
Yeah.
And then the AFC side, it's like, oh, God, Kansas City and Cincinnati.
Cincinnati
again.
And Kansas City for the third time. I mean, even the least Chiefs fan and Bengals fan in the world can sit back and go,
oh, yeah,
that's what we want.
They want that.
You want that championship game. You need that championship game. I like the fact that you guys all understand you don't work for ESPN and have to say the Jets in the AFC championship game.
No, I don't. Can their quarterback even get to that point in the season?
None of us said Baltimore.
Well, they haven't shown that they're capable of getting to that game, you know, and well, they did last year, obviously at home, but like,
Yeah,
I love Lamar, but man, you got to prove it more than just, you know, for a hot second. Nobody said Cleveland.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Baltimore would be my second team, though.
What other teams are we supposed to be rooting for this year, according to the national networks, besides the Jets and Cleveland? Is there any others that like they're falling in love with? Dallas. Nobody mentioned Dallas.
No. Arizona. No.
Oh, I know Atlanta.
Atlanta. Chicago.
Atlanta, Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah. Although I am kind of rooting for Kirk Cousins because I saw his playlist and I was like, this is almost the exact same playlist as one of mine on my phone.
Seriously? Where did you see it? I'd like to look at it. A lot of good dad rock?
It's a lot of just like what I listen to.
All right.
It was like Newfound Glory, Blink-182.
Oh, no way.
I'll share it. I'll send it to you guys during the break because we've
got
to go to a break. Because we are here on 96.5 The Fan, your only sports radio station that you need to listen to in Kansas City. That's Bob Fesco. I'm Dusty Likens. That's executive producer Mac Morey. We will be right back on Fesco and Dusty.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, 913-586-7965. Bob would love to hear from you.
I would love to hear from you, yeah.
Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco. I've sent you both the Kirk Cousins playlist.
You sent me a clip of somebody using a roller to put sunscreen on their back.
I thought it was a great idea. Either one, she got tired of nobody saying yes to would you apply sunscreen, and or two, it was just, you know, a brilliant lazy idea. Which brings me to my question, if we could, you know, get responses. What's the best brilliant lazy idea?
Yeah, that's a good one. The sunscreen. So I did see the playlist because you had mentioned Kirk Cousins, and then all of a sudden it appeared in my Twitter feed. So
of course, like,
I mean, these things listen
we
to
love,
us. Yeah.
We love our country.
Oh yeah, I do love this
We're
playlist
good people.
Though.
Isn't it crazy?
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. Like Jimmy Eat World, All American Rejects, Green Day, Fountains of Wayne, Blink 182. Like right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Like,
this is amazing.
I would 100%.
Charlotte, the Killers,
yeah.
Gym Class Heroes, Foo Fighters, Fall Out Boy, yeah. Maroon 5, All Time Low, Three Doors Down, and Yellow Card.
Really good. Yeah. Really, like, you know, like I'm looking at that playlist. I'm like, this is like my running playlist, man. Yeah. Like I listen to most of these songs all the time. So
right.
If you want to work in like the Kirk Cousins playlist, you know, into kind of rotation here, that'd be good, man. There's not a song on here I look at and go, that song stinks, but like say, this is really good.
I also find it ironic that he has a song on there from Good Charlotte, which is Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, because yeah. Nobody has gotten a better finesse than Kirk Cousins in the NFL being the Lifestyle of the Rich
and
Famous.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, he's done great with that.
Oh, I mean, Washington, yeah. Then you got it in Minnesota, and then Atlanta. It's like, Kirk, congratulations, you figured it out.
Yeah, really good job by Kirk Cousins, man.
And like, then I saw that playlist yesterday, I said, this pisses me off.
Yeah, like you don't want to like Kirk Cousins, and I don't understand why
you wouldn't.
I know, but like people don't want to like Kirk Cousins because I guess that maybe he's not like a cool quarterback or so. I don't know what the deal is.
Is it because he's corny, religious, and white?
I think because he shops at Kohl's, too.
I think his wife does. They said he's got like unlimited Kohl's cash.
Yeah, I like it, man. I'm all in on Kirk Cousins in that playlist now.
The Kansas City Royals have a superstar in Bobby Witt Jr. I would say also Salvador Perez. Maybe I'm biased, but I think he's a superstar. It looked like one last night. Hell, maybe Paul DeJong is a superstar as well. But this was on baseball. Chris Bassitt on
why the Toronto Blue Jays suck
and why baseball needs superstars.
How do we explain this to Blue Jay fans? Where did it go wrong?
I'll say this. I think we do a lot of things right here, but like I don't want to identify the problems because some of the problems I don't think are fixable. The one thing I will say about the Blue Jays for this year, we put, I think, $700 million into Shohei Ohtani's basket and didn't get him. We really didn't have a pivot. This is the reality of the landscape, is that you need three or four superstars. We have to get more hitting to protect Vladdy, and then the pitching has to be a lot better.
So, first things first, $700 million to Shohei Ohtani said no. Yeah. He's like, yeah, sorry, I don't want to go to Canada.
And that's Canadian dollars, too. Yeah. Think of all the circular bacon you could buy.
And then, I did get that reference. And then, you think about, you need three to four superstars. Do the Royals have three to four superstars?
No, I think they have two. I think they have two legitimate superstars. Bobby Witt and Reagans, Cole Reagans.
Not Salvador Perez.
No, I think Salvi's past like that superstar status. I think he's a Hall of Famer, really good player, but he's 34 years old, right? I'm kind of looking at guys that you know are going to be superstars for a while that you can build around. Maybe Salvi is here another 10 years. I don't know. Nobody's doubting Salvi. But I think like true superstars, because sometimes the word great gets thrown around. Oh, that guy's great. This guy's great. He's really good, maybe not great. You know, sometimes the Hall of Fame has become the Hall of Really Good and whatnot. Bobby Witt Jr. is a legitimate superstar. And I think Cole Reagans is a legitimate superstar right now. You tell me one team in Major League Baseball that wouldn't take Bobby Witt Jr. or Cole Reagans on their team right about now. I think every team would sign up to take those two guys. And so they're definitely on their way. I think there's really good players. Obviously, Salvi's the old veteran leader of that team. Mm-hmm. I think Vinny's got the opportunity to be kind of a superstar player, but you know, he still needs to put in the work. I think, you know, as time goes on, maybe we'll see somebody else emerge. Maybe Ursig emerges as a true superstar closer out in that bullpen over the next couple of years. But I think right now, two true bona fide superstars, Bobby Witt is head and shoulders above everybody else, and Cole Reagans would be probably a one in just about every rotation in Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah, I mean, when they gave... It's weird how like Major League Baseball expert analysis told us the Royals were probably going to be here, because a lot of people said, who's the team on the rise or on the come? And it was a lot of them saying, well, I really like what the Royals did this offseason with where they spent money, where they went and got guys. Seth Lugo's been a 2024 superstar.
Yeah, he has been.
Cole Reagans has been a 2024 superstar and shows the most potential with age and hasn't really pitched a lot with the two-time Tommy John surgeries.
Right.
But looks like he's that guy. You'll see him tonight. The Angels will know he's a superstar when they can't touch his fastball.
Well, the Angels shouldn't show up.
They didn't last night.
No. Did you see that center fielder like midway through the game? Like he gave a worse effort than I did in the hot dog race.
Yeah, not
that guy
effort.
In center field like turned his back and watched the ball land on the warning track. Like whoever that guy is should run laps today.
And you watched two hot dogs in front of you run laps.
I did, but I'm not a paid professional.
Well, not in that regard.
Yeah.
But no, I think the Royals, I think Salvador Perez is a superstar. And I truly do believe that. And if I have royal colored glasses on, that's fine. But I think Salvador Perez is a superstar. He's the guy that goes to the All-Star game and everybody knows who he is from sure. American League to National League to managers to coaches to fans to play everybody. That to me is a superstar. Bobby Witt Jr., obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone we're talking about the Kansas City Royals having more than one superstar. My whole life growing up, it was.
We didn't have a superstar.
We had Mike Sweeney.
Yeah.
Every All-Star
superstar
game.
Superstar human being.
Very much so. Love Mike Sweeney. And that was what it was. Every year, the All-Star game is like representing the Kansas City Royals first baseman, number 29, Mike Sweeney.
Or Mark Redmond when Sweeney was there.
Yeah. And that's what it was. And it was like, yeah, we got Mike Sweeney. Now, this Royals team is a team that when they go to the Cincinnati Reds away park, it's like, well, they got Bobby Witt Jr., they got Salvador Perez, this like Vinny guy's pretty good. They got Cole Reagans, Seth Lugo, those guys. It's like, you are now naming more than five players for a Kansas City Royals team. That's why they have 70 wins. That's why they have, 14 more wins already than the team had last year. And to be honest with you, it's not like they went to break the bank anywhere but Bobby Witt Jr. And Bobby Witt Jr. might have the greatest contract in Kansas City sports history outside of Mahomes and Jamal Charles.
Well, I think it rivals the Mahomes contract right now, too, if he wins championships. Right. Obviously, the Mahomes contract is stupid good for everybody here in Kansas City. And the Bobby Witt contract is looking like it's stupid good as well. And so if he leads this organization to championships like Mahomes did, it's going to be one of those deals where JJ doesn't want to make eye contact with Bobby Witt Jr. because he's going to be asking for some more money in that thing. And I think this offseason, though, too, is very important for the Royals. Now they know what they have kind of as a base with this team, right? They know exactly where they are. They know they're a playoff team right now. How do you add to that in the offseason? I was talking to a talent evaluator over the last couple of days about the free agent class. And like other than Pete Alonso and Juan Soto, it's not a great free agent class. And so if you're really going to truly add to your roster and to your organization this year, there may be some trades that the Royals have to make. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if you included Brady Singer in a trade this offseason. I would not be very upset at all if they decided, you know what, Brady Singer's a part of a trade that's really going to make us better, but the only way we can get a true, like, corner outfielder is if we include Brady Singer in that trade. I wouldn't hesitate at all to do something like that. So I think the Royals are going to be very active this offseason. They know what they have right now. They know what they're going to need to add. You're going to need some bullpen help. You're going to need an outfielder. And if you can get a superstar corner outfielder this offseason, whoever that may be, my goodness, man, you can really take this team to the next level. Getting that Juan Soto sweepstakes. Let's go, John. You want that new stadium built? Let's get Juan Soto here.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's only going to cost about 700 miles.
Well, I told him to sign Ohtani in the offseason. He didn't. I mean, they tried.
From 816, just tuning in, how'd Dusty's pitch go? Amazing.
Amazing. It was great.
I thought my text from Vern was the best part. He goes, well done on the first pitch. You fired that effing thing in there, and your old man didn't made sure that thing didn't drop.
Yeah.
That was great. So, yeah, we did all right.
You did good.
But, yeah, it's crazy because the Royals have superstars on this team. If they didn't, they wouldn't have this tweet coming in from Buster only 14 minutes ago. Race for the best record in the AL. Yankees, Guardians, Orioles, Twins, Royals. Astros. Yeah, that's the greatest thing about it. It's August 20th, and you're three games out
from
the best
record. Why are the Astros playing good baseball right
now? I don't
know,
they won like 9 out of 10. They can't stop losing. It's like they finessed the league.
I mean, it's bizarre. I think
because they also have like four superstars.
Haven't they won 10 in a row?
I think it's 10.
Because I think I saw yesterday they'd won 9 in a row, and then they won again yesterday. Like, have the Astros really won 10 straight games? Like, what in the hell is going on down in Houston right now? My God.
And the best part about the best record in the American League is you have a win-win situation as the Royals. Either Cleveland beats up on New York, or New York beats up on Cleveland, and Minnesota's got to play San Diego, and then it's on, baby.
Yep.
Then the Riptide starts. And speaking of the Riptide, this tide is going to keep on going here on 96.5 The Fan. It's Fesco and Dusty with executive producer Mac Morey on the other side. Build your best AFC West super team. We'll get into that on the other side on Fesco and Dusty.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Missouri athletics.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
96.5, The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.